It's a podcast. And now,
welcome back to More Garbage.
Hey yo, yo. Welcome back, More Garbage Podcast. Episode 66, season 3, Too Soon RIP, where we discuss premature obituary statements.
Not ejaculation.
All right, so let's get into it. More Garbage Podcast with my co-host, DJ JoJo.
JoJo!
And Count Trocula. Friday night compost. What's the deal, guys? How you been?
Bubzilla.
The Bubzilly.
Remember, if you want to, just call right here and send us some money.
Yeah, Fubs is ready. Fubs is ready with the ads.
Cash App, man. Cash App is.
Fubs is ready with the ads.
Just call me and we'll send you a credit card for him. Cut the deal.
Tonight does not come to you from any sponsor, but once again, I am plugging High Hemp Organic Wraps, which are 100% hemp and keeping me off the tobacco.
Well, let's push this too. This shit. This is THC rub. This shit makes my leg, like, my shit feel perfect.
How's it make your
girl?
Peak Extracts is not our sponsor, but they fix my arthritis. Thanks, guys.
This right here is
this fixes my brain.
This is my vibe for getting a sponsorship. Like, I'm an athlete, so I like to get drunk at night and wash away my depressions. In Jameson,
he's like, I got baseball knees.
Stout edition with the lovely craft beer edgy taste to it. Jameson whiskey, please send
trying
me
to be Len phone. Dykstra. Trying to be like Len Dykstra. What?
I'm trying to be like a new bit.
So this week we had the next in a long line of premature obituaries when Revolt TV.
Fuckers.
Made a post,
you bitch asses,
regarding a certain hip hop legend that was in the hospital, and started a chain reaction of everyone and they mama posting RIP condolences, you know, remembrances of events, art, music, interactions. And then came the news that this certain hip hop legend was actually
apparently not according dead, to this
was in the DJ, hospital.
We can't DJ say Webstar. Name. DJ Webstar was the first guy to put it out.
Yeah, he was the first, right?
Okay,
and that's what started it. But then, like, Revolt pushed it. It's just
so I think a lot of people when they saw Revolt put it up. That they're like, oh, well, you know, Puffy's got the inside.
It's down
scoop.
Now.
Take it in. Yeah. So I didn't even look for it because.
Well, I mean, it's coming from people and it's coming from people. I don't know what their status is with. Can we say the person's name we're talking about here?
Of course
we can.
I just want to make sure.
What is this? What is this?
I don't know. I was just.
There's no rules.
I just want to make sure. But yeah, like this.
I'll be shook.
I don't know their relationship. And I don't know how he got the information.
I don't know. It's not him. Wait, here's the thing. Puffy doesn't run Revolt. He's just the guy that found the money.
No, I'm not saying. I didn't say. I meant Webstar as far as I'm talking about.
The end of the day, what it comes down to is that Revolt is a source. And people believe it when they see it.
Yeah.
And even if they read it wrong or whatever the fuck it is, they have to be responsible that they know that people are paying attention to their shit for that. That's it. Simple. And if they're not on their A game and their news department isn't on their A game, they are subject for fucking, you know, what we're doing right now, which is chewing their ass out.
And as you can see on the screen, there is a hierarchy of grief, right? So I was reading a story.
This is interesting.
Basically about someone that had a loved one pass away. And they needed to make important phone calls to the most important people. and their phone wouldn't stop blowing up. And they're like, let me answer this. And it's everyone calling to give condolences. And they're like, how the fuck does anyone know? Like, how does anybody know? And they're like, oh, there was a post on Facebook. Like, a post on Facebook? I haven't been on Facebook in 2 days. Well, it just goes to show you that a lot of people, they're kind of treating it like a scoop. You know what I mean? When someone dies. And it's not for, you know, it's not for like the desired effect is not to go viral. The desired effect is like to share, right? And to share either.
Reach out to people that may not have gotten the message. Yeah,
but wait, sure. The other thing, there's another grief. Thing though. There's not even that. I think we're missing a big thing here of our fucked up society is in the grief. It's FOMO. It's like people want to be a part of this conversation. They want to be the first to do it. They want to be on it. Like they got the information before people. It's a bag of shit. Like if you don't know somebody, you know, hold the fuck off. Like really is what it comes down to. If you don't actually, and the facts are is that when you actually know somebody that dies, guess what you don't do? It's fucking right away. Go to social media and say, oh, I'm sad. My friend died. No, you wait a minute. You process your shit. You're really sad. And then you come with it like days later and you're like, yo. And because you don't need people to think you know this guy or that person or whatever it is, you just, you know, it's for you. And I think people jump into the quick, you know, rest in peace, you know, obituaries and memorials because they just want to be a part of a conversation that frankly isn't theirs, you know? And we've seen it when somebody actually passes and somebody knows somebody, and you fucking read that shit and you're like, oh, you knew that dude, you know, or you knew that person. And it's not, contrary bullshit, you know, it's like,
I was gonna say, I agree with for the most part what you're saying, but in this case, we're talking celebs, so however that person may have been inspired, they're going to scream out for the first record as hard as they scream out about anything else. So, like, you want people to say that they respect, but you know, if it's from who and from where, right? And there's things to sort of just weigh out. But yeah, honestly, you know, like the first thing that came out of my mind, because I was one of the people that actually like posted it, like, oh, I'm coming home. Like, are you bugging? I'm like bugging out for like about a half an hour.
Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. What is it in general? Forget about what just happened, but overall, the want to be a part of the conversation, that moment. Because for me, if anybody passes that I don't fucking know, you know, it takes so much for me to be like, yo, man, you know.
Well, all right. So,
I don't know. Look.
So check this out. Real quick before you go. No, I'm at Joe. Go. I'll go after you. Don't worry about that.
Oh, I just kind of wanted to address it because, like, for instance, there were certain deaths that, of course, I didn't know the person. But, you know, for instance, like the death of Larry King. Right. For me personally, Larry King is
like Johnny Carson, almost like that kind of level.
It wasn't.
No, I know what you're saying. He's a Brooklyn dude. He's an interview guy. I get it. He's broken his own level. I know his story. Yeah, I get it.
Right.
He touched home. But right. Still, for me, I don't.
So okay, I felt the need to write something at that point because I was like, yo, this is, you know, it's a death that impacts me because this is a person that has inspired me, you know, from Brooklyn.
Yep.
On a microphone, doing media. You know, maybe one day I do transition from, you know, radio to television at some point. Doing it now.
I get what you're saying. I think for me, though, what it comes down to is that, you know, maybe like damn near 15 years ago when social media was still young, you know, somebody passed, I'd be like, RIP somebody. And you know, I stopped doing it mainly because a lot of it was me knowing that it was part of me wanting to be part of this conversation. It was FOMO. It wasn't real. It wasn't honest. And it was like, and I think a lot of it is because somebody dies and you see a fucking flurry of people you haven't heard about in 20 years, 15 years, 5 years, whatever. And you're like, and the kids now, when they die live on camera. So like, you know, like that's real. All of them die live on camera. And it's like, you know, I'm like, you know what? I have no connection to you. Like, and I know you might have inspired me, but I personally, for myself, I'm overseeing, like, it's upsetting when people pass, and it's a shame we don't talk about them more when they're here. And that's why I'm like, I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to hear everybody jumping in to be a part of the conversation. Just like, yo, oh, do you really need to be part of this conversation right now? Like, oh, RIP somebody. And you're like, yo, does that fucking mean anything to anybody? And it's like, does that family, like, oh, look at the outpouring of people that loved him. Like, do they give a shit? Like, celebrities, of course people know. You know, it's like,
right.
You know, how much of that is, and I feel like I'm coming across as a total dick right now, but whatever. You know,
you're shooting values into the interwebs, brother.
It's FOMO. It's people like that don't want to not be a part of the conversation.
Right. Right. But for some people, it is their way of going, oh man, I haven't spoken to this person in forever. Like, for instance, a colleague and friend of mine who is a DJ, his name was Jason Jinx. He started DJing back when I started DJing. And when he died, like, look, when he died, it was a shock to me. But it also made me realize, because I was living out here, that I haven't spoken to the guy in, like, you know, in like 15 years. Like, even when he was alive, you know, like a couple
that's
posts.
That's different. You're talking to a man.
But that's the thing. This is what I was saying.
You didn't know. Oh, okay. Got it.
I didn't realize that he had died, right? And then it made me realize the whole time, I never even reached out to send a message like, yo, how's things going? Right? Nothing like that. Hitting a like on a post is like a superficial way of saying, yeah, I checked you out.
I think where I'm coming from is that with the celebrity shit, I think what's happening is that this culture of everybody flurrying, wanting to say rest in peace to somebody has created this like chomping at the bit for somebody to be the first to drop the information, right? Mm. To have that press like, oh, Revolt dropped this information and said, you know, they were talking about it. The information dropped. And so that's created the same response in humans, in fans and stuff. I'm not saying what you're saying is incorrect. I agree 100%. Within a tighter-knit community, it's very important. You don't know sometimes when people pass. I get that. We're not talking about that. I'm kind of talking about celebrities more than anything, because Jason Jinx, he's big in his community, but he didn't go
He didn't
DMX and I'm not disrespecting him by any means.
Right, like, we're not. We love everybody.
That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm just saying that's a personal thing. You know, like when Pumpkinhead passed away, it was like personal. Like,
yeah, that was hard. That was crazy.
Right. That's family, you know.
I wanted to throw up as you guys were talking about it. I just realized that last year I was in the middle of this same ordeal, and I knew this super guy, and I might as well let it Jazzy J. It was like a quick moment in time where I'm literally comforting a dude on the phone who's in tears. And me and him are going back and forth about all the good times with Jazzy. And at the time, I say, yo, wait a minute. Let me just, you know.
Wait, Jazzy J's alive. One second.
Well, just listen. Just listen to the story. Let me text this dude. I go and text him. I was like, yo, this is some wild stuff being said. And I just need to make sure you're good. Just hit me up. Let me know. Boom, boom, boom. Another person hits me up. They saying, yo, it's true. This, that, and the third. All that got killed within maybe 12 hours later. You know what I'm saying? And, of course, Jazz hit me back like, yo, thank you for checking on me. Peace. And that was it. And I just realized.
And that's dope. I guess for that reason it's dope. But I think what that also points out is this terrible culture we live in where people are like, oh, that we got to talk about it, as opposed to like that first instinct that you have should be the first instinct, and it's not normally.
Right. Well, when you reach a certain level of fame, like, I mean, that's something I wanted to get to anyway. From a journalistic standpoint, when you reach a certain level of fame, like every head of state right now, including Kamala Harris, you know, all the way on down from the top rankings, they all have obituaries that are pre-written right now.
Of course, that goes without saying.
They're made for release.
Yeah, I get that. It's a press release.
When someone is really famous enough, they start compiling all of your events leading
that's
up
government to- shit. You know, that's government shit.
For example, you know, Michael Jackson already had an obituary written for him, you know, that had to be updated, but you know, it's been written, it was written in the 80s when he was, you know, recognized as the king of pop, you know.
Mm-hmm, right.
And so if something happens all of a sudden, they have a baseline obituary that they can come out with immediately on the air for the news, for things like that. You can do it for you can do it for yourself as a regular person. I just think it's kind of morbid to do those kind of things. And you know, another example, Donald Rumsfeld that just died. His obituary was, yeah, he's a piece of shit. He's a war criminal.
Listen, those unknowns.
Not sad that he's gone, God. Because he can add his body pile to the millions of other Iraqi, to the 1 million Iraqi children that died under his
amongst hands, other people
under his watch.
Amongst how many other people?
The architect of the tech torture program. Like, you know what? I'll see you in hell, man.
Yeah,
I'll
be fuck there that too. Guy. He's a scumbag.
But his obituary, and this was one of the complaints that had come out, was written in 2018. Right, but they didn't. You know, it was like the Washington Post. It was the New York Times. Didn't really give a shit. They said this obituary was written in 2018. Mm. I mean, you know, and that
they're,
you
like,
know,
we surprised he lasted this long.
Yeah, really. I mean, but
well, really, what would have the last 3 years added to his obituary?
Nothing. He retired.
He started eating a lot more prunes.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, exactly.
Vicious tonight.
No, it's like, you know what? If you're a person who worked up until your very last second, there might be some things that you have to constantly add to this thing. You know, if you were a person like Charlie Murphy, who pretty much worked up until weeks before. Weeks
he was
before
fighting.
He died.
Right.
Or, you know, Sean Connery.
Sean Connery. Or Jackie Collins, who did an interview a week before she died.
John Lewis.
John Lewis.
Rutabaga Ginsburg, and go through them.
Yeah, there you go. RBG.
Who's RBG. One of you guys got a phone call right now in the middle of our podcast?
Oh, my God. I'm sorry.
You don't hear that? That's Europe. Only rings like that happen in Europe.
Is that a call from beyond the grave?
That was my man.
Fucking Europe.
That was someone calling.
If you hear like a siren, it's like woo. It's like it's Europe. It's Europe.
So check it
cops
out.
Are coming.
There are many different causes for these premature obituaries, as you can see on the screen. And I'll
pull up
that font a little bit. Accidental publication.
Accidental publication. Yeah, brush with death.
A brush with death. Okay. When the subject unexpectedly survived. Yeah, like, yo.
Like Tracy Morgan.
Like that condo the other day. Let's say that collapsed in the middle of the night. And you're like, shit. Yo.
The numbers
I know
up.
Someone that lived in there. Chances are.
Right.
Clerical errors, almost 500 living people in the United States are inadvertently considered dead each month. Jeez. I'm surprised they didn't say and vote or something. and receive stimulus checks.
Fake death.
There's
a couple of rappers that supposedly faked their deaths.
I have another thing here about faking death. It's not illegal to fake your death, but any debt you owe would become immediately payable and could be construed as an attempt to defraud, right?
Yeah, like if you fake your own death to try to avoid like taxes or some shit like that, you could get in a lot of trouble.
You could go under the jail.
I like the way they word this. In the United States, there are no laws against listing yourself in the obituaries because you are free to make a fool of yourself.
I mean, you're just asking for shit.
But you're free to make a fool of yourself. But at the same time, the loophole is that's fraud. And if you print it in a newspaper, that's fucking wire fraud.
Well, look at this one. This one's really interesting too. Historically, those who have committed crimes or other wrongs against the state have been declared legally dead, despite being obviously alive. This is known as civil death, because the person loses all rights normally granted to a person. They're dead to me.
That's what they did to tons of black people when they threw them in prison. What do you know? What do you know? What
happens? The foghorn sound right there. Boom.
What happens when you catch a felony? If you catch a felony, you can't vote. You can't catch any federal assistance. You're not allowed to live in the projects. You're going to be dirt poor because you can't get a job either. Mm-hmm. Right?
And you can't
have you ever been arrested of a felony? You can't receive any state or federal assistance, including when FEMA comes around for an emergency. You are fucked. You might as well be dead at that point. Right? Because
America starves. Well, if you stick around for all that pain and punishment, that's your fault too as well. You're free to do that. I'm sure there's other countries that wouldn't mind something if they let you in.
Well, this is one where we actually touched upon. There's a hierarchy of grief. You know, you got to pause and consider your role in relationship. And remember, you know, that it's sometimes better to wait, not because you're not sure, but because maybe not everyone should know right away. Now, in the case of Bismarck, you know, obviously that was being shared everywhere, right? And mm-hmm. his family were really the ones in the know, but not his entire family, right?
No.
So I'm sure there was distant family that started seeing all the posts and were like, no.
And there's always somebody that's really, really hurt by this that should not really know, that might find out through the internet and be twice
right,
if they heard it from family or something.
Come on, you don't want to find out like through the internet if like your loved one like had an accident or passed away. You want to find out through a more personal grapevine than
right. You don't want to find out through.
Now, is this a generational thing? Because like I really feel like our generation specifically is the fucking the worst with this. Mm. You know, like I feel like we are
Generation X.
No, I think Generation X and the Zillennials between the fucking Millennials and I think we literally be we like I feel like the Millennials purely believe nothing online unless it's a meme, and so they check everything first in general because they want.
Did you say
quick with it?
Did you just use the word Zillennial?
It's a real thing.
Wow, yeah. I haven't heard that yet. Zillennial.
It's pretty much the generation between
Generation Z.
It's between millennials and Generation X. It's Zillennial with an X, and it's pretty much it's pretty much a micro generation that was raised
They were
raised with no digital, and then they were the first generation to take it on. So like they came to be. When they became adults, the digital was in play already. So they remember both. They had fucking regular phones, and they didn't have cell phones, yet they grew up with it. And it's like predecessor to true Generation X by a little bit, or after a little bit.
Look at your phone, Vandal. Our director, Vandal, is on the case, right? Look, the premature deaths... the premature announcement of a death when someone's not dead, especially if for the person that reads it, like if somebody wrote, "Oh shit, JoJo's dead," like, I'm not fucking dead. What the fuck? Like, I mean, like, and that's happened with a few people. Like currently, wasn't it? And I can't even think of the best example right away in my mind.
There's a couple of people that always end up.
There's a couple of people. Yeah. There's a couple of people that have been announced dead, and they're like, "I'm not dead."
Yeah, there's a few of them. Bill Cosby is one.
Yes, that's
Betty,
right.
Betty. What's her name? Betty.
Betty White.
Wait. Yeah, so Betty does White. That mean Bill is back from the dead?
Fuck Bill.
Hey, listen.
You scraped the floor, brother.
Bill just walked out of the courtroom like Tupac.
You saw that shit this year?
Oh man, that meme was crazy.
That's disrespectful, bro. That's mad. Dude,
shit. Bill got his shit thrown out. Okay, look, I don't. Look,
be careful.
Is court? Listen,
be careful. Be careful. Don't buy Felicia yourself.
I'm gonna listen. I don't care if anybody cancels me. I've always been a fan of Bill Cosby. No,
I'm not talking about canceling yourself.
Let me just for all these people that want to try to eat you up for whatever. I don't really care, right? My first thing in my mind is that they tried to slander a black man like they always do. Every black man, you get to a certain level of fame, they're gonna do it to you. Now, I do not condone any of the shit that he allegedly has done, right? And a lot of women have come out, and I've also heard someone who knows someone from that generation, from this time where he's pretty young, and say, yeah, he's was kind of that guy.
8 to 80, dumb, crippled, and crazy, dude.
It's dumb. It's a saddening thing to hear, right? But the technicality that he got off on, can't do anything about it.
What is the technicality? What did he get off on?
The thing
he got
was,
off on because he wrote. You're gonna go ahead, Joe. Go ahead, finish it up.
Basically, he was under a civil case for one of these things, right? And the attorney at the time said, "We will not press criminal charges. You're gonna settle for $3 million, and." You just have to fess up to how it happened and blah, blah, blah. Right. So now
he basically caught some immunity on some statements that he made.
Yeah. The state attorney had retired and the new attorney comes in. New attorney comes in, opens up this whole case because of the statements that were made in the civil case. Now, because they made this deal, which the lawyer was allowed to do. And because she had already been settled for $3 million, this case was never supposed to be tried to begin with.
Right.
But they went ahead. They went ahead because at the time, and this is how it gets back to social media and things coming out, there's a lot of hashtag Me Too movement stuff. So something had to happen. And they made an example of Bill Cosby when they could have made an example of Harvey Weinstein and let this guy out for a long, long time before they ever put him behind bars.
Okay. One second. There's a couple of things here I want to unpack. I agree with you that Weinstein's in jail. Yes. I think that I think he's a piece of shit as a person. And I think slandering his name has nothing to do with him being black.
Shit. Whatever. That's what they tell all of us. We're making this up.
No. I'm not saying you're making it up. I think that all I'm saying is that I think he's a piece of shit. He's done all this shit. That slandered his name. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, he was
the best black guy ever before that. Let's be real.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
He was the king of all black guys.
Well, that's what I'm saying because, you know, I have a friend who told me the story before the story even happened, maybe 5 or 6 years, or maybe even 10 years prior to all of this coming out. And every story was literally the same, except that she was one of the lucky ones where she just didn't, you know, she didn't fall into the trap, you know? In my mind, I was like, yo, this dude is a piece of crap for real. And then this is where my issue comes in, right? Wouldn't it have been better to just have him take the tell his truth at the civil court and leave him be, only to be shamed in public, than to try to be a gung-ho prosecutor because you heard some wild shit he said to throw him in?
No, that deal never should have been made.
Well, that's my whole point. It was made for
if
a reason.
If we're doing coulda, woulda, shoulda, that deal should never have been on the table.
But that's my point. That's
because that benefited one person, maybe two, the lawyer, instead of a whole multitude of people that want to see some sort of justice served.
Right. And that's my whole point. Why are you even cutting deals with an alleged sociopath or a proven sociopath. Why are you even? I get it. He was America's father. Well, if he's America's father, what
and,
was it?
And remember, when Eddie Murphy used to tell that story about how
he used Bill to treat Cosby him like shit.
Used to shit on him.
Yeah.
And now Eddie Murphy is America's dad.
Yeah, and that's which is the craziest part to it all, right? And yo, and even like you know, it's been known for ages about Cosby's antics behind the scenes, according Listen, to celebrities.
All of this stuff that was happening in Hollywood, except it's same thing with the guy Harvey Weinstein, right? Mm-hmm. You know, some actress comes up, oh, Harvey tried to jerk off in front of me. They're like, yeah, I know, he probably tried to do cocaine off your tits too. And nobody said anything, right? For years. And I understand that anyone that's gone through a sexual assault, it's a deeply, deeply, deeply scarring psychological thing that may take someone years to actually come out and say, right? So it really is a tough situation, right?
But that's what I'm saying with the wheels of justice. Justice gives everybody a fair chance to trial. I'm stressing that part because I feel like we are so sleeping on this is literally in comparison. This is literally in comparison what happened when Mark Furman found the glove and everybody pointed him out saying that he was overleading the case. You know what I mean? And because it's important because if you were part of the shit and they people we die on our justice here. Like we sit here and we become this bigger than thou shit. And then when it's time for us to do shit right in the courts, we do it up
because
of
logistics, because you get better lawyers. But here's the question: if any one of those women were your sister, mother, daughter,
that's not the point I'm talking about.
I mean, it wasn't any of us cutting that deal.
Right.
You know,
shit. I'd be not.
One second. What? I don't mean to keep going. Track.
No, I'm just saying there is something else we need to look at as far as the system on the inner side, on the branch, on the judge branch scale, because we're talking about all these cascading issues. Yo, when they want to catch somebody, they catch them, right? When they want it, when you know what I'm saying?
So I want to say something like, just brief, which is it's very rare that a rape accusation turns out to be false.
But that's
it's
my
a
point.
Very small percentage of the time. Now, it does happen, right? But does it happen 50 times to one person?
He didn't go to court 50 times, though.
He didn't go to court. And that's the point. Maybe he should have gone to court 50 times. And he shouldn't have been, you know, able to get immunity.
He wouldn't get 50 immunities. That's impossible.
No.
None of these women.
The thing was the statute of limitations was running out, and they were able to start that case like 12 days before it ran out. You know, it was like fuck it, we're going for it.
Right.
But that attorney.
That's why we're going for it. We're going to put another black man behind fucking bars.
Especially I was going to say rapist, but.
Especially a really famous one. We're going to try to tarnish every, you know what?
All right. Well, listen, what I'm saying
that could be a thought.
For the dickiest person that we look.
It's convenient because it's a slam dunk. Slam dunk in this case.
We just went through a person who was a narcissistic for 4 years in office who used these type of things to repel situations for making himself look bad. And it worked when he won. This is what I'm saying. This is our government now that needs to like this whole shit with the statue. What the fuck, bro? Like, I'm scared to death because that shit probably happened a couple million more times prior before Bill Cosby because of some gung-ho dude, but they ain't going to get looked at because yes, Bill Cosby is a bit more famous and a bit more bigger and has the money. And then there's all these other things that I refuse to just buy into the whole NBC thing and how he's about to buy this and that, whatever.
Let's talk about the girl. Look, what about the young man that was about to go to college, full ride scholarship, gets together with some white girl in the Midwest, right? She says she was raped and then comes out in the newspaper after the kid gets sentenced to prison that she lied about it.
No, that's bullshit.
And actually regretted it, and the charges.
No one's going to stick up for that.
She should go to jail. She did go to jail, I think. Nothing happened to her? She should go to jail.
You know, I mean, no, I think
they say, did she go to jail?
I think she got.
We need to find out.
She got to get locked up if he went in. I mean,
I agree with that.
That young man lost his whole chances of possibly being in the NFL or anything.
Yep.
And this is where it gets. Look, we all know the Kobe case, right? And you know what? Athletes.
That's real. That to me is like fucking bullshit, and it happens all the time, and it should be looked at before anybody does anything with a fine tooth comb before it goes into the press.
A thousand.
Mike Tyson.
Well, Mike Tyson's a wild card, now, bro. Come on. Again, he's a wild card.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's a wild card. He did go to jail.
He's a wild card.
He went to prison. He went to prison.
Yo, wait. When your fists are lethal weapons, you're a wild card.
And he's even.
Now what about Felicia Rashad coming out and saying, man, a wrong has been righted. Like,
she was
this is beautiful news.
Got an idea, yeah.
And she's the dean at Howard University. A school at Howard, yeah. And with two daughters. How does she negotiate that? And then she puts that up, and then she gets slammed so hard day she backpedals.
Listen, right? I have no problem saying I still love the accomplishments of what Bill Cosby has done for young black people at the time.
I'm not going to say the Cosby Show sucked or anything.
No, fuck the Cosby Show.
But as an example,
I get what you're saying.
That he reached the heights of the fame that he did. His ability to deliver comedy.
Yeah, he was
right?
high end. Like, he was super person, high end.
The person that he was that all of these listen.
But the,
all of these stations
wasn't,
made billions of dollars on him.
But that
right?
was all one we person.
Were, no, but
that
we're
was
all,
doing these things at that time. It's not like he turned bad at some point,
right?
This is shit going back to the 70s, right?
I think this is something
he was known for, and he admitted to himself that his game is buying Quaaludes and slipping them to people. He admitted that.
I have no doubt that in my mind that they wanted to make a point of Bill Cosby because he was the king of blacks, and that's real. That's real. I 100% I totally believe that there was a fucked up conversation about rich white men that were like, we're gonna bring the king of blacks down or whatever, and like, but that doesn't take away that. You can't be talking about, Quaalude, these girls is my thing. You're fucked up, dude. You gotta pay for some of that. Like, I don't care what color you are. I don't care if you have eight heads and you're green. Oh, and I don't give a shit.
So now
you gotta pay for a little bit of that.
Now let's
especially
say
if you're like the guy that's like the guy that was like chastised for calling Eddie, stop cursing Eddie. It's bad for you. Like, all you're going away from being a dick too now.
Yeah, not for being a dick. Not for being a dick, for being a fucking rapist.
Okay, well, look, this just leads
to two-sided-faced rapists.
Comedians slamming on famous. Look, my favorite thing.
Bill is deranged.
Yeah, he's fucked up, dude.
He gets more senile the years pass.
He's just fucking deranged, man. Because he got away with it so many times. That just became
his
normal for him.
His normal, like
yo, he recognized his celebrity so hard body, like nobody's ever recognized a celebrity like that.
Yo, people woke up and
millions of white men that are like, shit, I did that too. Thank God they ain't looking at me.
Bill woke up in his presence with him sucking on their feet.
One second, you know why Bill got taken down?
Been intimate with.
Bill got taken down because he had such a high moral code and he liked to talk about it.
Super high moral code.
You know what I'm saying? Listen, like, if he was just your average, like, I'm not going to talk about, like, you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that and you should be like this and hate children and this, that, and third and follow the fucking pen and all this and I'm drugging girls. Like, yo, like, you can't be that guy. You can't be Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids and then be like, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But I'm saying a lot of other man. People have- Yeah, it is
things.
A lot.
It's a lot of stuff. It's like it's not like one honest, accident. Man. It wasn't like the Kobe thing was like, come on, you knew that was some bullshit, right? Like, you know, like
that's why this girl didn't want to even show up at court. They were like, okay, describe it.
She's right, like, because it was like, yo,
we've all heard those stories, right? There was the Freddie Gibbs story. Right, that's how he got started.
That happened in Austria.
I don't really know that story.
Then there was the Tupac story.
Well,
the
Tupac story with that crazy girl.
So it's not like it's unheard of, but as far as like a percentage,
how many times has something like this been lied about? Look. Here's the problem. This is a really big problem with it. This is the hardest thing to unpack with it. We all know that any type of sexual assault accusation has to be taken with a level of seriousness. We all know that.
Right.
Problem is when you have to get into that for the victim, the people that really are victims of it, right? And there are a lot. Serge is definitely right about that. The problem is when you do have to look into these things, you have to ask the accused and the victim a lot of different, very, very, very personal questions, right? And in some cases, it opens up a can of worms. Like, we're talking about the tough part of it, right? Us accusing people and shunning somebody, that's the easy part, right? Oh, you're a rapist, you're a druggist, blah, blah, blah. That's half the people in Hollywood.
That's all of the internet.
No. Yo, really.
Finger point is.
Really, it's a lot of people. That's half the people in Hollywood, entertainment, the music industry, what have you, right? I'm not saying that's okay because it's not okay, right? So let's not get it fucking construed. So if somebody tries to cut something out and just get an excerpt, they're not going to get the right excerpt because I do not fucking condone this kind of shit. Yeah. And if it were my sister, guess what? I might be the guy locked up because they'd be like, did you assault him for doing that? I'd be like, yeah, hell yeah, I did.
I whipped his
motherfucking ass for him.
I think this came down to, and I really believe this, regarding Bill specifically, the moral compass this dude stood on. And I think that people maybe wanted to take him down a few notches because of how raunchy he was for so long. And I think
he
do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Like, and listen, yeah, we don't know. Cause we weren't there. So we're just reading everything we read. I get it. Like, I don't know, but like the thing is that, like, you know, we also have to keep in mind the fear of what, and I'm going to come out of my face right now, of being a woman in this regard. And we don't know about that at all, but like, you know, people say, oh, like, you know, it's like you should come out. And it's like, yeah, but I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is even like. Like, if you wake up the next day and you're like, dude, fucking Dr. Huxley just fucking diddled me. What the fuck? Like, yeah, really. You know, like for real.
And,
like,
and
how
not,
do you
not just diddled?
Yeah, you know what I mean? You but know, how do you deal with
people
that?
People coming home with sore butts.
It was a nice word. It was a sore. He was just doing an cleaned up, censored version.
Wait. But
not
I'm just, what happened? Right. I'm wholeheartedly like saying, yo, like, and then all of a sudden what happens, and it should, is that when people start to talk, it's like, yo, we got to talk now. And so when that happens and 50 fucking people come out, guess what?
No, that was the work of that lawyer.
But see, my problem.
But so you think that is bullshit? Do you think it was bullshit?
No, I don't. There's too many coincidences.
I'm just trying to I'm not trying to take away that the justice system is forever trying to fuck black people. That goes without saying. Always. Okay.
Okay. Let me just stop you right there. 1 second. Let's take it to a different side of things. Right. Bill's got homies. Right. Okay, no. Let's talk about this. This is the backroom shit, right? So, Bill's got homies. You know, at one point,
in jail.
He's like, "Hey, yo, Chris, what did you do last night? It was with this girl." You know, so somebody out there, just like with Harvey, right? Because a lot of people with Harvey, they were like, "That's what Harvey people knows." What? So what? He jerked off with you in his living room? Like, that's what he does. So what I'm saying is, there's some homie of Bill who's like, I say no, right? That probably
his AC
knew
green
about this shit.
So this gets me back to what I was thinking about Felicia. It's like, yo, okay, that's your man, $100,000. You're going to ride or die, no doubt. You want to be happy.
You want Ahmad Rashad coming to your door
because you just care about him. Think that and shut the fuck up. You're on Twitter fucking waving the flag. You don't think you're going to get shit on?
Yeah, of course. She wants the Cosby Show back. She wants the Cosby Show back on fucking Syndicate.
She was like, I was getting them checks. Yeah, I'm getting them royalty checks.
She's regular done. For decades. Decades. Speaking engagements.
That she's stain. She caught that stain. She caught a Bill stain.
Why did she get fired?
Nah, are you kidding me? That is going to last 6 minutes. People are forgetful when the next thing happens.
There's a lot of people that are willing to sort of just ride with the homie till the end, and it may not be the most healthy
because of his accomplishments. This is what I'm talking about. This
right,
like
he has I'm, done. That's a hell, real. He rapes and he saves, like Dave Chappelle said. Right.
Right? Dave Chappelle.
That's what they said about the Dave honorable.
Dave Chappelle went in on R. Kelly too. He's like, "Yo, R. Kelly's mad at me. How you gonna talk about me peeing on people?" He was like, "Nigga, how you gonna pee on people?" You know, and R. Kelly is fucked up. Like, you know, that's one of those up where, like, you know what?
His story,
and that's another person that had.
Lucky nobody's met him backstage and just tried to beat his ass.
It happened.
Wait, there's a big difference between R. Kelly and Bill Cosby. R. Kelly's moral compass he stood on was peeing on people.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
It's fucked up, but he was never like, "I'm this good dude." He's like, "No, I'm a piece of shit all the way through."
Right.
He never lied
about
R.
that.
Kelly never lied about who he was. In fact, there's records for decades about it. The man was like, "Put me away. I'm a fucking sexual deviant. Yeah. I'll keep talking about it on song, and I'm illiterate. Don't forget." You know?
I can't read it right. But
that's right. You know, like the Real Talk video, the best video of all time. Like, you know what I mean? Like these things just like, you know, and that doesn't make it good. He's a piece of shit too. And he should be fucking eviscerated for being a piece of shit.
Well, but
he wasn't like, "You know what I don't do is teach kids. Nope, you don't. Like,
here's the funny thing. It's always the loudest person. This has happened to politicians too. Remember all these anti-gay Republican dudes that get caught out there with like trannies or like blowing somebody in a bathroom.
Hanging out in airport bathrooms. Hey.
Yeah, exactly. Tapping on stalls and stuff like that. Come on, man. What is that? Right? Like if you're going
to. Oh, wait. That's America. 1 second. Have you been to America?
Yes, I'm a US
like the middle of America. Yo, that's America. Like, you're like, there's no gay people in America. Like, there are.
Hey, listen,
there's plenty of them. They're just
Brokeback Mountain scared a lot of people.
We got everything, brothers.
Brokeback Mountain scared a lot of middle America people.
Yeah,
they didn't scare them. Hell no, they ain't scare them. They were just mad it was out in the open. That's been going on for a minute.
You mean like, they were mad that
Bubba, I think
their spot was blown.
Bubba, yeah, I thought that was up.
That's what that
we
was.
We can't do no more booty party.
Damn, we ruined it for everybody.
We can't do no more camp trips. Yes, you can. Bubba. Bubba. Be proud of who you are, Bubba.
But according to God, you can't. And there, God is everything. And that's real.
Listen. All they need to do, and the power of God and the money behind God, get you some things, right? You know that there's someone out there that's going, you know what? Come on over. Come on over to this congregation.
Yeah, I'm just saying that, like, it's going to change. Listen, generationally, things are going to change.
It's going to be like Midwestern churches for, like, you know, gay cowboys and stuff.
It's a wild party.
Nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with it. Listen, I say, be who you're going to be. Right?
Yeah, of course.
You know, ain't nothing wrong with, like, you know, and this is the problem, the stigmatizing that happens.
Nothing wrong with a gay redneck.
Places like the South and the Midwest and stuff.
That might be the new T-shirt, Fubs.
Ain't nothing wrong with a little booty.
Good Lord.
We're going to get fucking taken off the air with this one.
Cooter.
Take us out of context.
Somebody tell me, what did Lil Nas X do on BET that's driving people crazy?
Didn't see it.
Nobody saw it.
He lap danced the devil.
Oh, you're talking about his video? Oh, his video? Yeah, I saw
it. He did something over the weekend that's got people going crazy. Yeah.
He's a troll. Do you understand? Like, Lil Nas X has troll expert level 10. Oh. Right?
He's amazing. Like, he kissed another black man. So two black men kissed on stage.
And that's people went crazy for that.
That's what happened.
What the America, y'all. Seriously.
You guys grew up in clubs in New York. You've seen it all.
Shit.
Yes, absolutely seen it all.
But like, but how many people have not seen it all that saw that? Just Google it. You'll see.
What the hell kind of outfit is that?
He flies away at the end.
Oh, man. He does?
No.
Oh, damn.
I got to get a drink to that one. That was the best comedic timing of the entire show. We've definitely had some highs and lows in this hour and said some stuff that was quite on the edge. But you know what? Look, in the end, everybody's heart is in the right place. And I'm going to make the disclaimer right now. The More Garbage podcast does not, by any means, condone sexual assault. And if it's any of our families, we come into your door to fuck you up. Right? Straight up. No joke. No joke. Call the cops right now. Because if you did something and it's a family member, I'm coming. It's that simple.
Anyway, that's it. That's all. Actually, we got like 3 more minutes. We don't have to sign off right there. Okay. Let's bullshit for 3 minutes. Why not?
Listen.
Oh, snap.
Let's go to a more positive
and
thing.
Smoke come out the harmonica. That's fire.
You're ready for America's Got Talent.
Oh, shit.
They're like, what do you do? You're like, I smoke weed. I smoke weed
and into a harmonica together.
You need to put the joint in the harmonica and then see, like, on the notes where you breathe in.
Right.
And then learn how to do little squares. Like,
it just feels weird.
He said squares.
Yeah, you know how you blow rings?
It's like remember, like, when the Nintendo cartridge wasn't working, you had to blow in it. Like, and then some people, it wouldn't work, and some people would be like, all right, here it goes. And they'd suck the dust out of it. Those are nasty people.
Jesus Christ.
those people now have brown lung. Plus little bits
don't
of
do that.
Let's see, little bits of copper.
Holy shit.
Breathed in their mouth and stuff.
Holy fuck shit.
Listen, I knew people that used to lick that card. I'm like, you know, that's all poisonous stuff, right?
You know, I was never worried about that because I grew up in a fucking hardware store doing dumb shit. But like,
they were like, you don't get a Nintendo. Here's a hammer.
Sucking a, we had a Nintendo, but hammer for sure before the Nintendo. Yeah.
I got you some of them longer nails.
You see?
You're ready.
Go play with a tape measure, folks. Get the fuck out of here.
You think that's a joke, but like, it's real shit.
He's like, okay.
Oh, come on.
We had toys, but like, boy, did I love tools.
Yo, that's it. That's all. We're at 55 minutes, and we'll be back on Sunday for Sunday Crunch.
Hey, Julian, we're going to have you on here. Technically, we couldn't get you on here, but we're going to have you on here, Julian. Yep. Our man in Amsterdam.
Amsterdam.
Yo, these 1 hour moments are sweet.
More garbage podcast.
Peace.
Peace.